Renaissance Recall with Jim Miller is part of Grey Towers Productions.
Ha! Jamboree! Ha! Jamboree! Ha! You ring-tail sailors coming up behind! Ha! Jamboree! Ha! Jamboree! Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm! Now, me lads, be of good cheer!
And this is Renaissance Recall. Welcome back to our very special part B of what we call the Beacon and the Common Ground. And welcome back to Renaissance Recall. And we're in our open forum area where we all just kind of talk and joke around and see what comes of it, which sometimes goes...
It's like a philosophical open forum.
It's like a philosophical open forum where we talk about stuff.
Yeah,
but
because we're in the same space we were in 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's not like we traded spaces. No affiliation with the TV show. Please don't sue. Anyway.
Just take all the mystery out of it.
But I definitely wanted to start because... So Kristen and Katie have joined us, and they've been kind of sitting in the background and occasionally making comments. But I really want to talk about the Spotsylvania Common Ground... before we really get into just riffing and joking around, this vision, this mission of this like multifaceted,
multi-use event park, one-stop shopping. So, seriously, let's say Dad wants to take a woodworking or a blacksmithing class, and Mom is taking acting, and daughter's on a girls' rugby league, and the son likes to ride and is taking lessons in the equestrian center. You can come there. Everybody can do their thing without the noise and sound pollution of one over the other. And that way, one person doesn't end up spending their entire day driving all around Spotsylvania County.
Wow.
Oh, and food on site.
And food on site.
And food on site. Because this is the plan concept that you guys want to go forward with.
Right.
Yeah. So I have to make sure we clarify that it hasn't been built completely yet.
No.
But they're working on it.
Yeah. The project is fully fleshed out. We have people ready to dive in and develop. We want to make it as green and sustainable as possible, and we have a large engineering firm that is coming on board to actually do that. They have an LEED silver award, and they're looking for a gold, and they think our project is the gold.
Wow.
So they're coming out of West Virginia. We have international connections. We've got all the dominoes are all set up and ready to go. We are in the process of raising the funds to purchase the ground.
We've
selected a piece of ground. I can't tell you where it is.
NDAs.
It's in negotiation, but it's here in the county. It's a large piece of ground, and it is very unusual, in our opinion. Without going into why it's unusual, just suffice it to say that a property that's going to house this many truly disparate facilities has to be rather unique. And it's after walking, and this is not an exaggeration, over 150 miles of ground in the last 3.5 years.
Oof.
Yeah, and which you want to know why my butt is still so big. I would like to know that myself. But... I've seen black snakes the size of anacondas. I have seen cat prints in the mud the size of my fist, and I knows a cat when I sees a cat. We've seen herds of wild turkey who stood up there and go, "What? I'm walking here." And,
God.
It's been a real experience. But when we found this piece of ground, we knew literally 50 feet onto the property, the group of us were there, and we said, "Oh my God, this is it. We knew it. That ground, and it'll sound hokey, but that piece of ground spoke to us like nothing else had. We all of us on the team got this like goosebumps of, we're home. This ground was waiting for us.
So you're raising money right now, and how can anybody who's listening help?
Well, pop out to we have a crowdfunder up, and the actual web address for the crowdfunder is a bit long and involved, and I can't rattle it off. But we have a website, phoenixeventalliance.org. We are a 501c3 nonprofit, and there's a way to donate on that site. You can also contact us at mypark@phoenixeventalliance.org. So those are two ways. If you go to mypark@phoenixeventalliance.org, one of us will respond to you and with more information.
Awesome.
There's a lot of good pictures and things. Understand that the photographs that are on the website are concept photographs,
mm-hmm.
because we don't have the ground yet, but we have, as I said earlier, all the dominoes are standing and ready to go. Once the ground is purchased, we're ready to rock and roll.
So it's right just away. It's just the ground that we're waiting on.
We're just the ground. We have 343 events on a spreadsheet that we can put on that ground at any given time, but we have a collection of them that can go on the ground within 3 weeks of attaining the property.
Wow.
And I have an army of people ready to work it.
So this is just the building of the tidal wave, and it's just waiting to go over.
It is. It's it's requiring a modicum of patience.
Because everybody's chomping at the bit and going, let's go.
Well, here's the thing, Jim. You know, we need millions of dollars. I need probably a minimum of $5 million to start it. And at no time have I had the sense that I won't find $5 million. I know that this project will mean so much to so many and will be so good, not just for the people who will use the property, but the the pebble in the lake and the ripples that go out, the ripples going out to the residents of Spotsylvania County, the residents of the region. And I believe we can serve as a flagship for other similar projects. I know when I started the Ren Fair, as I said, I was told that it would never work by the people who know these things. And by
so
golly, it
that.
Did. Yeah, yeah, funny how that is. But I've talked to a lot of people who, since we started the Ren Fair, and they know we have it working, have said to me, I have no idea how this is going to happen, but the concept is so solid and the planning is so well thought out that I have no doubt that we as a group, as a community, as frankly as the community of man, can make this happen.
Yeah, I mean just looking at the concept itself, I mean, I'm I'm just impressed with the overall concept. You're going to have the actual Fair Village. You're going to have a folk art school and maker studio, an equestrian park, natural landscape architecture and conservation, a niche sports park, performing arts group and area, food service and sustainable horticulture, and all the small associative things in each one of those groupings.
Right.
That's a project that most big businesses wouldn't run toward. Whether or not
they wouldn't touch, they would
run away.
The risk is just too high.
Yeah,
the risk is high, but here's the thing: you'll have the Ren Fair. Let's say would buy a piece of ground, and even though the fair would only be there for 5 weekends, and then be rehearsals for several weekends and some site prep, they would still be required to maintain it
mm-hmm.
for the entire rest of the year, and we all know that a site like that would have a great big vandalism bullseye sitting on it.
Oof.
It would require someone to pay for the water, the electric, the sewer, the taxes, the security to keep the bullseye intact. It would require all of that. A big performing arts center. And the performing arts center that she conceives of. It's Vilma Gill. She's a local gal. She's a Broadway actress and a choreographer. That she envisions is a flexible site that can have large theatrical events, a small black box theater, and outdoor amphitheater, but would also be studio space in there for theater arts, dance, music studios, and then Courtney's film and video studio would be in there. Would be the most appropriate place to have it. But what she envisions is this flexible space so we can house high school graduations so they don't have to go all the way up to George Mason. Large corporate events. You can move the space around. The design that she has is breathtaking in its simplicity, and yet there's a engineering complexity to it behind the scenes. You know, you don't see parts of that. Sometimes simple is and elegant is a lot more complicated. So that's the reason that this makes sense, because when the fair isn't running, a theater is running, or there's a equestrian event, 26 miles of trails can bring back trail riding, competitive trail riding. But people just want to take their horses out and ride. Let's say you have a Tuesday off and you want to take your horse out and ride. We'd have the place. Let's say you've got a hurling club. There aren't any hurling fields around, by the way. They have to make do on football fields. They're too small. But a rugby field's big enough for everything. You have a place now to come with your hurling team and practice on a field that's the right size. So you're not making allowances, ditto for rugby and field hockey and a lot of these sports that are up and coming in this country. So this is a way that everyone can share the risk and share the expense. And by having an event or multiple events on a property every day, if you want, we keep it safe, we keep it active, and we keep it running.
No, I mean, this is, I mean, it's amazing just to think of the concept, but even more amazing that it's so close. And you guys can just kind of taste it right there, and you know it's going to happen, which is even more amazing.
So the little hamsters in the wheel in my brain were sort of running while you were talking, and one of the things that popped into my head was we're also currently living in a place and time where a lot of these opportunities are disappearing everywhere else.
Exactly.
A lot of arts programs and sports programs that aren't football or basketball are leaving public schools. And so kids don't have access to those programs anymore in a lot of places. And this gives a centralized community atmosphere that parents can feel good about sending their kids to and not have to worry about it. Or parents can go themselves and partake. And if they don't have access to this in some of their public schools, they can get it somewhere else.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, there's also very limited opportunities for adults to partake in some of these activities in our area as well.
That's really true. And I think part of it that I found particularly enticing is that, let's say you came on site because you want to take acting classes. And while you're taking the acting classes, you meet somebody when you're getting something to eat that's doing woodworking. And you think, well, I never thought about woodworking. And but you decide, I think I want to check out woodworking. And while you're down there, one of the woodworkers says, I never thought about acting, but it sounds like fun. So there's the cross-referencing of things. People, I know when I was in high school, if you were, quote, college prep, you weren't allowed to take a typing course because that was for the vo-ed people who were going to be in business world, and my God, did we need to know to type in college? But we weren't allowed to take it. Well, that's the kind of thing. If you're in a certain track at school, maybe you're not allowed to take one of these other things. And
yeah, I took a lot of agricultural courses, right, and they were taught at the exact same time as all of the arts programs.
Right.
So I had to choose between either chorus and drama or agriculture. Could
exactly.
not do both. And that was a tragedy, because I would have done both.
Literally, the cross-pollinization that could happen at Common Ground.
It's very exciting. And also, the possible technical vocational training that can happen. You never know. You never know when you're suddenly going to find yourself, for whatever reason, unable to do the job you're trained to do. Maybe the job has become outdated. Maybe for whatever reason you can't do it. I used to cut up dead people for a living. No kidding. And then one day I got such a horrific allergy to formalin and latex, the two tools of my trade, that every time I went to work I ended up in the ER and hospitalized. And one day one of the ER doctors said, "Is dying worth this job? If it isn't, then you need to come up with something else." And I was terrified, because this is what I knew how to do. And I had to reinvent myself in my early 40s completely. And I was lucky. I had a couple of opportunities literally fall into my lap. I believe God was watching out for me. But it happens to so many people. They're going along and they're doing their job, and then suddenly they don't have their job anymore. Wouldn't it be, or maybe you're just not a college kind of person. College isn't for everybody, and you know what? College isn't the be-all and end-all. It's not, it's nice if that's your gig, but it's not for everybody, and we shouldn't make people feel bad if they don't want to go to college. But if they don't want to go to college, they need to know how to do something.
Yeah.
And our blacksmith, Carson Sams, is heading up the folk art school. At this point, we have an amazing number of different arts. We've got woodworking, glassblowing, several types of metalworking. I talked last weekend to a lady I know who has her master's in historic fashion, and she has always wanted to teach fashion design, historic costuming, and things like that. She wants to come on board. We've got dyers, weavers, spinners, fiber artists, all those people. And everyone in this room right now, I know, has done some kind of thing with their hands. There is a personal satisfaction and a feeling of accomplishment you get from doing something with your hands. Even if it isn't that great, it's yours. You made it. And Carson always says, people need to know that personal joy, that personal sense of fulfillment, that I made this myself.
Well, the confidence boost that you can.
Do you know what the number one thing is in this country right now that millennials brag about most?
Eating Tide Pods.
No, but you know, that was one of the answers to that question.
Ooh, that
good. It's their DIY projects.
Oh yeah, they have bars, they have events, they have all of these like little niche companies now where you can do it yourself, and then you can eat, or you can drink, or you can drink coffee, or
people today crave that in our time of such fully integrated technology. Technology is so integrated in our lives we don't even think about it. We carry in our pocket a phone that has more computing capability than the first computer I worked with at Ohio State, that took up an entire floor of a very large building, and you could barely do, you know, simple binary code with it.
I've run multiple businesses off of this thing, and it's 2 inches wide.
Exactly.
Punch card.
Yes, Fortran 4 with what for? And technology is completely part of our lives. It's in everything. It's our HDTVs and our phones and our voice over IP telephones and our everything about it. So what joy it is to unplug and walk away. And as Carson said, you can work out a whole lot of anxiety and angst pounding a piece of hot metal into something useful.
Definitely. No, I love watching Carson work. We always talk like right before he before we start the day. Me going off with a sword, him going off with a hammer. Oh,
it's mesmerizing.
It's mesmerizing.
Absolutely mesmerizing.
Unless you're there during the smoke purge, then the smoke purge, everybody wants to leave suddenly.
It's got to happen, though.
It's got to happen.
It's essential.
But, yeah, no, and this year with Women in Education being our theme, and, you know, we have a great three-part story for the main cast, and we've got some great fights going, things along those lines.
The story is really making an impression. It's really making a dent in our patrons. I read all the feedback, and Katie and Chris are really getting this point across, I'll tell you. Mm. It's exciting. What's interesting is the number of people that had no idea that women weren't educated, period, just weren't, that they didn't think it was important. And I can say that our cast has managed to work that theme into everything throughout the fair. It's part of that whole learning piece that we do.
No, it's like even my character is trying to add on to the improvements there in the village
the aqueduct.
The aqueduct.
So I had a bit of a surprise last weekend. There was this family, and I saw them at scene two and recognized them from opening gate, which in and of itself, the fact that I even noticed them while I was in the scene was pretty remarkable, because I'm usually not paying attention to that. But afterwards, I ran into them and asked if they were enjoying it, and they were on their way to our last scene. They went out of their way. They planned their whole day around each one of those scenes.
So cool.
And
that's great.
That just kind of blew me away. I was flattered because I'm in them, but it was that little moment of feather in my cap. But, you know, just that they were planning their day around our scenes that we were doing, and cared that much about where the storyline was going and were that into it. It was absolutely amazing.
You know, what's cool about that observation is that it was a whole family. And that's one of the other things that I think part of our fair philosophy that we can carry over into Common Ground Event Park is the fact that it can be for everyone. That the script in our show this year, and when I say script, there's just vignettes throughout the day and then the cast improvs the rest of it. But the storyline about educating women is something that everybody in the whole family, the little kids, the kindergartners can understand it, the parents, the grandparents. There's something about our performance that provides for everyone in the family. It's not like when you go to a kiddie event and the parents just grit their teeth to get through it, or you really want to go see this thing, but your kid's either going to be bored and squirming and everything, or you know you're going to have to leave early. And we provide something at the fair for the entire family. And that includes those invisible people that we talk about, the ones that the nonverbal adult child in a stroller, the roomy-eyed grandmother who by 4 o'clock probably isn't going to know who you are anymore. And we are there for them. We're there for everybody, because everybody deserves our special treatment.
Yeah. No, and I got two things. One, we should probably start thinking about like recording our little vignettes every year and then posting them online so people can see what we do through the story.
Hey, Courtney, there you go.
Uh-oh. Sorry, Courtney. I just gave somebody else work.
That's all you had to say.
And the other part would be I had a past weekend, and not to toot my own horn. I'm not trying to,
you know.
Toot away.
We are actors.
We had the 2:30 show for me and Aurelia. We're doing our little aqueduct thing. And this one went over really well. We had a lot more dialogue. And that's one of the things that's really great about this fair is that we can start a show with barely anything and then build it up to a full show over a season, improve on it over the winter, and then add it to the collection of shows we have at the fair. I do not eat until 2:30 because of my diet and everything else like that. I packed up all my stuff in my hands, And I was walking down the fence line, looked over the right hand of the fence line, and there was a brother and sister. And the sister was in a wheelchair. Now, I'm not going to go into specifics about, you know, what her disabilities were, so on and so forth. But she was waiting there for her parents to get back with food. And I stopped. And I was like, no, I'm not going to go. And I walked back to the opening in the fence, went through, and I sat down with her on the bleachers. And we went over my entire spiel about swords. We talked about my character. We talked about the fight and how, you know, I was talking about the Uhrer really was way too good for, you know, being just a water collector. And we had this wonderful couple of moments. And like around 2:58 like 20 minutes 25 minutes after we had finished our show, because we got on a little early because there was people there, I finally went in there and she we talked, we joked around. I finally went back in there and I was like, oh yeah, I gotta eat. and I had been thinking about food all day, and it's just, she just completely stopped me for a second. I was just like, this is what needs to happen all the time, because her and her brother were like wrapped. They enjoyed holding the rapier and talking about the parts and telling me about their day. And I mean, she's not super young. She wasn't like maybe about just beginning to be a teenager, but
you just made a memory with those young people. They probably don't know your name, but they will remember that forever. That's the kind of memory that they're going to tell their grandchildren.
I can only hope.
But no, it really is. And we've proven that over and over. We make memories. You know, you can lose your money, you can get more money, you can be hungry, you can have more food than you know what to do with. Nobody can take your memories away. Your memories are the most precious possession you have. Because the good ones are going to hold you up during the bad times, and memories of the bad times are going to make the good times so much sweeter.
Definitely.
I think that needs to be a motivational poster. It's going to happen.
Mom says.
That was my grandmother, Cornelia. Mm. My grandmother was tough as nails. Now, I'm the baby in my family by about 20 years. By the time I came along, my grandmother about had it up to here with grandchildren.
So one of the very few that do.
She wasn't the cuddly, you know, oh, honey, let's make cookies. She was the one, after you slaved all day over a skirt you made, would say, well, I like your choice of fabric. It's a good pattern. Rip! Too bad you didn't do it right. Let's start over.
Oh! Oh, ouch.
She took tough love to an Olympic.
And now we know why your garb holds up so well.
You know, here, Grandma, what? Take the gold.
There's hardly a day that goes by that I don't wish today I could sit down and pick her brain. Because, oh gosh, I think I was 20 when she passed away. And it was at that realization, that at that time, that I thought, I didn't get old fast enough to get all the stuff I needed out of my grandmother. But my 80-some-year-old cousins are making sure I get as much as they can remember now. Because they've gotten kind of curmudgeon-y. Yes, that's you, Bob. But, yeah, it's that kind of thing that you make a memory and it can change your life. It can change the way you look at people and look at events, both good and bad. So that's our job, folks. It'd be nice to make some money, because you have to make enough money to do it again next year. But I think more than anything, we need to make memories for people, because in doing so, you have a memory, Jim, of the girl in the wheelchair. And Chris, you have the memory of that family that made it to all of your shows. And Courtney has a memory of a chainsaw and a hockey mask.
It's always going to come back to the chainsaw and hockey.
People running themselves in the trees.
Yes, there's a whole bunch of 30-something girls that were in that soccer team who have never forgotten you, I guarantee it.
Entertainment and education.
One of the
really
crazy
violence.
Thoughts. So as far as Courtney goes, a lot of the memories that he makes end up on film for everybody else to enjoy. But think of all the other ones that didn't end up. being recorded in some fashion.
Right.
And those can never be recreated, which is a little sad, but flip it over again. How awesome is it that some of those can be shared?
Right.
Again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the guys that ran themselves out of their shorts because they didn't have belts on.
We were in the front row seat at the Harvest Moon Ball.
Stop harvesting! Stop harvesting! Oh my god!
I just want to hear Jim say "orr" again.
Or what?
Orr.
You know, she has this joke she made where we're sitting there and I have to hold myself back from cringing every time because Aurelia turns around and goes, "So what you're saying is I'm going for an oorer to," and then she looks at the crowd and goes, "Wait for it, to an engineer," and I'm going, oh. So I finally just started looking at the crowd and going, "This hurts me." The cut to the leg is nothing. This hurts me. But I mean, all of us are having such a great time this year with the rain, with the heat.
Hey, that little rainstorm that came through last Sunday was actually quite refreshing.
Those of us who stayed out in the rain.
And a lot of those memories are now on Facebook.
Yes.
What happens in the Shire stays on social media.
Forever.
Can never be deleted.
Did you see a picture that I posted on Facebook about the service war dog?
Yes.
So it's a picture of Tyrannus with a service dog blanket over his shoulder like a pauldron.
I can't believe Christy lent you that harness.
She did. And I told her exactly what I was going to do. And she's like, I was like, "Could you take the pictures?" And she's like, "Sure! Here!" So we had a blast with that. But best experiences. Like an experience that just cries out to you. You can have as many as you want.
Well, I have. When we started the concept of the Virginia Renaissance Fair, the very first place that agreed to host us was the Williamsburg Winery in Williamsburg, amazingly.
Wow.
And
I never would have guessed.
We had never, ever done that show ever. But we put together the show. By that time, we had two horses.
And, because the horse.
We had two horses. We had 9 vendors. We had 18 cast members, and my daughter Emily was directing. She was our first director. I sent her to college to learn to direct, and I said, "Okay, I want my money back." So
took it out in
there's
trade.
There's an educational investment here.
We got to the site, and we had met with them months prior and said, "You have to mow and everything." When we got there, and they hadn't mowed anything. So we had to wait until they mowed the site, and then they did, and then we had to put all the tents up. And we got all the tents up on Friday night, and we stayed in hotels, and we got up the next morning and got the joust ring fenced off, and everybody got their costumed on, and I was standing with my back to where the parking lot would be when the phone rang. And my daughter, Emily, the director, had the phone because she wouldn't let me hold it. I was getting calls every 30 minutes. And she grabbed it and she said, "You can have 5 minutes, but she's very busy. Do you understand?" "All right." And she hands me the phone. And it was my mom and dad calling from Florida. And they said, "Good luck, honey. Is anybody there?" And I turned around, and they were bumper to bumper driving into the winery.
Wow.
Coming to the show. And that is, and then Emily said, "Okay, that's enough," and took the phone away.
There's enough of this emotion. Please continue.
Right, but that was quite possibly, that was the first incredible memory. Because to be perfectly honest, I really needed my mom and dad right then. But I think the next really salient moment for me, at the end of the show every day, we have from the very beginning, we've ended the show with a quote from Shakespeare. It's a piece that's in Act 3 of The Tempest.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to do it here, but we do it every at the end of every show after the pubs sing, and I deliver this speech. And one day when I started the speech, people in the audience said it with such reverence right along with me, and I got goosebumps.
Mm-hmm.
It had meant a lot to me, and to be perfectly honest, I didn't care if it meant a lot to them. It meant a lot to me, and I felt that we needed, as a group, to end our show with it, and it was my show, and we're going to end with it. But to realize that all those people got it. They felt it. So much so that they said it right along with us.
Mm.
And now it happens every time, and every time I just get goosebumps. So that's my two.
Okay, so anybody else can follow that? Courtney, you're...
Gosh. Aside from the first show in Williamsburg, was it the same year or the following year?
The Miracle in the Mud?
Yeah, Central Park, same year. Miracle in the Mud. Oh, my gosh.
So Central Park is... Like New York?
No, Central Park in Fredericksburg.
Oh, okay. Central Park.
You know where Walmart currently is?
Yeah. That's
okay, directly across the main road from Walmart, there was like this bowl where they dug it all out, taken all the topsoil right down to the clay.
Oof.
to build up the part where Walmart is, to make mm-hmm. a hill. And that's where they put our fair for 2 weekends.
In the hole?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm guessing this is where the Miracle in the Mud part comes from.
Oh gosh, it was so long ago, but
it started to rain Friday night.
Wasn't there a box truck that got stuck?
Two of them up to the axles.
Oh.
It started to rain Friday afternoon as we were setting up,
mm-hmm.
and it got heavier and heavier, and of course, all the water was collecting in that bowl, and there was nothing but clay, so I didn't know where to go. And two of the big trucks got stuck trying to get out right up to the axles. It rained off and on all night. And at 3:30 in the morning, I heard the skies simply open. And I told my husband, I'm going to go down and see if I have anything left. I sat in the under construction Walmart parking lot. And I watched Lake Elizabeth form with tents. When the sun came up, we had 10 inches of standing water, two big box trucks listing heavily to starboard. And the mud had an aroma.
Oh.
Okay, Courtney, take it from there.
Oh, gosh,
Courtney's
sorry,
favorite
you,
memory
sorry,
is you, a natural you, disaster.
It was literally a disaster. But the thing is that literally the show went on, and there were patrons, and it was just...
Ah, but there were patrons. It's the only time I closed the show, because I had 10 inches of standing water that smelled like
stuff.
The south end of a horse going north. And, and we sent the stage acts into Fredericksburg to busk. We had vendors who called in their husbands and people who worked at Lowe's and Home Depot to deliver us rakes and shovels and things. People who couldn't do manual labor but had costumes on, I sent up to the hill, and we gave out free tickets to anybody that showed up to come back the next day. The food vendor already had thawed all of his food, and we were all covered with mud. He had his group come out and hand feed us because we were covered with mud. The sun came out, I don't know, what was it, about like 8 o'clock in the morning, the sun came out and baked us. And we were, patrons came, took one look, went home, got their own shovels, came back in boots, and we opened that show Sunday morning.
Wow.
Wow.
It was a heck of a time. Only show we have ever closed for weather, and I wouldn't have closed it if the water wasn't you know, the tide was rising, and I was,
yeah. In a dust bowl next to Walmart in downtown Fredericksburg.
Well, it wasn't a dust bowl at that point.
Yeah. No, at that point it was, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, pretty much with everything that transpired Saturday and the fact that there still was a show the following Sunday, it was just impressive.
Jeez.
Courtney got sunburned.
Courtney got sunburned.
Impressive. He was working on his tan.
I use that joke a lot, but we're going to go further.
I remember that because I thought, I said to him, yeah, some of us go through life like that, Buster.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm so sorry. So, Chris and Katie, any best experiences over the past weekend? Because we just finished up the third weekend of this year.
Did I not just tell you that a whole family specifically sought out all three of our shows?
Yes.
Is that not enough for you?
Are you not entertained? Yes, no. I'm. Any other ones? Katie Bell?
Katie. Oh, my goodness.
Do you remember last weekend?
Well, what about any
just
other
barely.
Time?
We did.
No pressure.
So, oh,
let's see here.
Yeah, we did add the best experiences after the first podcast.
Well, the overall best experiences after the first podcast. I've got another one ready for you. So Spoonie taking a peasant bath in the water that was cascading off of the noble's shade cover.
Oh God.
Definitely takes the cake. And I thought it was pretty funny when I was doing it under the steady drip, but when she positioned herself underneath the periodic dumping of the water,
yeah,
that
they were actually like breathing. It
that,
was kind of
that
odd.
Took the
oh, yeah.
cake. And just that you can be that thoroughly soaking wet and still just having a blast and a half.
Then ran around trying to offer hugs to everybody.
I bet.
And the amount of people that were still there that were more than well, they were in the tavern completely dry. And if you walked up with your arms out, they would stand up and give you a sopping wet hug.
Yep.
Oh, gosh. Oh.
I really like doing the show with Katie.
I have a really good time doing that.
We've had
a couple of kids who, it's neat watching them because we've dressed them up. When we've had the audience and we've had the time, and we've dressed them up in some of the period fashions, and there have been some guys that have really gotten into it, and that's a lot of fun. And there have been the little girls who, you know, it never fails. Once you get everything on them and they've got this just shy look on their faces, but they just love it, and it's just so much fun.
So, small preface: the show is getting dressed in period clothing.
What are you wearing?
Yes.
And I actually remember the first day that Katie volunteered to help you, because you came down the hill and go, where has she been? And I'm going,
yeah.
She's been helping out the cooks. She's been working in the gift shop. She's like, I need her all the time. Yeah. I was like, she's yours? She technically was yours. She was a part of the, she volunteered in the gift shop.
I started off in the tavern. I worked in the barley corn, and I brought you on.
Well, yes. You started off in the gift shop for Corny, though.
No, yes, I did.
Yeah. Right. But before that, yes, we were... I got invited down here by Katie to work in the bar. And we worked in the bar for...
Three years?
3 years? Almost, maybe four?
No, 3 years max.
And then she left you in the bar, and she got promoted. Ha!
I think that was it.
Something like
yeah,
that.
And then I so, then I
yeah.
yeah, because you were working the souvenir when I was doing the final thing of working at the bar, and then that's when I decided, oh, what the heck, and I involved myself in a fight scene that we all got very in trouble for.
Oh, I have to hear about that one.
Oh, cabbage.
Oh,
cry your pardon.
What?
Memory from last weekend. So Katie and Travis and I are getting ready
she does
for
that all the time.
Our third scene of the day. And normally, you know, Katie and I walk out onto Little Greenfield, and there's some dialogue, and then Travis joins us. There's a little more dialogue, fight, 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 and then end scene. Well, normally there's not much out on the field except grass and dirt and normal things that are supposed to be there. On this particular occasion, Katie and I walk out onto the field, and as we're talking, notice that there is cabbage carnage everywhere.
That's cabbage.
I mean,
everywhere. That is a leafy green vegetable that has nothing to do with grass. That's cabbage.
And more than that, it's slippery.
Ooh.
And so the jousters who in their earlier show were slicing heads, literally, of cabbage. And while they got the vast majority of it,
they missed a spot.
They missed a couple of spots. So while we're doing our lines and we're kind of halfway trying, because the fights start pretty early on in the scene, and we're trying really hard to clear as much of the cabbage as we can while we're talking / stall.
Step, step, shuffle, shuffle, shuffle.
Right,
kind of
kick
step, the shuffle.
So in a moment of improv genius, which I almost never have, and that's why I do scripted, I just picked up a huge handful of it, threw it over my shoulder out of Little Greenfield, and went, well, the school's not going to work right here with all this cabbage around. But that got rid of, like, a whole bunch of it.
Yeah.
Now, during that fight
Chris
scene,
got rid of the rest of it.
I did, in a very unconventional way. So, in this fight scene, I end up on the ground. And normally when you get up, half of Little Greenfield goes with you. Well, on this particular occasion, I didn't have to worry so much about Little Greenfield because what came with me was massive amounts of cabbage, which I was plucking out of my garb the rest of the day. And she still found some in our washing machine on Tuesday.
No!
Tent, and we're just like... We're patting her down because it's like, okay, well, once we get inside, the inside is the no bug as little grass as possible zone.
I use like an entire container of baby wipes.
Just to get rid of the cabbage.
So yeah, cabbage carnage everywhere.
Oh, man.
So I think that's my best story from last weekend.
I'm sorry, I have to hear about this fight that you got in trouble for.
Oh, it's going to end up in there somehow.
It's every fight he does.
I always get in trouble for fights.
I'm intrigued because a couple of times during my stints in Varf and before coming out and coming back in, I actually had involvement with the fight cast. So I'm intrigued. What did you get in trouble for?
So I was still working in the bar. And the show that year involved two lead females, and they were playing the Mask?
That was the Mask year.
Oh, that was the right. Mask year.
So it was actually only one lead female, and she
at
had an understudy. So there was only one female in the scene.
I think I was around for that.
Yeah.
Please continue.
So, Kristen Erlitz and Katie...
C,
Katie Kerneski, would come in and they would cool down before they went out on their show, and they would climb up onto the bar. They'd walk down the bar, you know, weapon arm, mask on, and it was during a time when we had a lot of people who were kind of camping in the bar, and they could yell and yell and yell, and nobody was really paying attention. And the people who wanted to see the scene couldn't see the scene. And the people who didn't care about the scene were being way too loud for anybody to enjoy it. So we were talking about this in the back one day, and I turned around and says, well, how about this? How about you kick me off the bar, and I'll make a loud noise, and you'll get the attention that you need. And Katie C was like, oh, no, I don't know. And Kristen turned around and goes,
I'll do it.
So the original Varf bar was an engineering dream and an engineering nightmare at the same time. Very well put together by Brad and a couple other people. And so I was like, okay, well, let's make this happen. I get up on the bar. I sit on the bar, which is something we normally don't do. And she started to get up on the bar, and I said, just tap me anywhere near my rear end. I'll make it look good. And she's like, well, I really don't know what... I was like, just go ahead and do it. No problem.
It was not an approved fight.
It was not an approved fight. Right. I'm saying this right now.
That's primarily why let's make this primary.
So I looked underneath the table and made sure that I could get a hold of stuff. I locked my legs behind the supports to give myself a nice, good bit of velocity. She stomped by my butt, and I hurled myself off the bar, feet first, screaming like a cartoon character going down off a cliff. I
think Goofy landed,
Goofy gone horribly wrong, landed, rolled to my feet back, and laid down flat, screaming the entire time. And then she stopped because it got dead quiet in the bar. And she looked down like I raised my hand up and gave her the thumbs up. Like, go ahead. I got their attention. And she took a pause and went right into her spiel on the top of the bar. And it was dead quiet for her entire scene. And she climbed down, and we kind of started joking around back and forth about it, and we saw that we were both kind of interested in the same things. And
this is also the story of how we met.
Yes, this is how we had met a couple times by offering them ice and stuff like that to cool down. And then we started to really get talking and getting to know each other after she hurled me off of the
bar.
And so I kind of wanted it to make it like a continual thing, but it was so well taken and her part was so well done that it kind of got back to the fight director.
I can't imagine that.
Well, I'm also pretty sure that he was watching the scene from the start, so even if it failed miserably, he still would have known about it.
Yeah.
Yay,
so
fight.
he came down, and it's like, no, it was nice, but not okayed. Not okayed. And I was like, well, I have experience. He's like, but still. And I was like, no, I understand. Not okayed. So it was like, if you want to join the fight corps, join the fight corps. I was like, I can do that? Because I'd been fighting for years and years and years before I even got to Varf. And I was like, I'm looking for a change. The bar wasn't as wonderful as I had had it once. So I was like, eh.
And it's not like you can't just join fight. I mean, God, how did everybody else get there?
Yeah.
Like, notice the sarcasm. Go through the audition process, which is how I joined the last fight corps. Which is why I assumed there had to be one at every place there was.
I never did. I ended up like, oh, anybody you can swing a sword pretty well. How about you join fight corps? It was the first one I actually had tried out for. Most of them I just kind of got absorbed slowly. So yeah, that was the reason behind getting in trouble with the director. I ended up throwing myself for a little bit. And
nice.
I mean, it worked, but
it worked really well.
It was not approved.
Yeah,
it was not
approved. Getting whined at, never fun.
So not whining, just very direct conversation.
Not okay.
Not okay. So we are at the end. We have way past the 2-hour mark.
We have indeed, but
I think we've...
It's worth it.
We've had fun. We talked about all kinds of stories that we probably didn't want to see the light of day, but we're going to see the light of podcasting at the end of the fair season.
Well, you can listen to a podcast in the dark.
That's true. A little creepy, but that's true.
I mean, to each their own. We don't judge.
Oh, but we finish it up with... I'm going to finish up my section of it, but I think we can finish it up a little differently. We want to thank Brad Howard and the Pirates Royale for providing our opening and closing music. I want to thank anyone who's listening, and thank you for listening. The reason I'm doing this is because of the people who want to meet the people behind the mask and behind the event itself. So please keep listening. Please join us for more of them. We will eventually have an email set up with this so that you can send in questions and answers. We will be taking care of that this very week, hopefully. And it's so great to have everybody. And, you know, we're at Renaissance Recall. Come out, play with us. I think Kristen had a really good one from last time.
I really did. Did you save it?
I think I might have. I think no. I might have. Let's see if I saved it.
It should be all the way at the bottom of something, because I was just typing away while you were talking.
Ah, we bring history to life. Come play with us. We look forward to seeing you in the past, and we'll see you back then.
Huzzah.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I said it way better.
You do see it way better. Maybe I should have you read it in next time. But I wanted to thank Cornelia, and I wanted to thank Courtney for coming in. Just, you know, awesome. Kristen and Katie for coming by and throwing their two cents into the ring with us as well. But Cornelia, if you would do me the honor of finishing my podcast with your VARF finish, that would be...
I'd like to thank Courtney, too, because this was another one of those, Courtney, get in the car. I'm not doing this alone, Courtney, get in the
Poor
car.
Poor Courtney. He's just getting in the cars Translation. All the time.
Translation, Courtney, get in the car.
I have had him since he was 16 years old. I don't think this is going to end anytime soon.
Oh, good.
All right. Our revels now are ended. These, as I foretold you, are all actors and are melted into air.
Into thin air.
And like the baseless fabric of this vision, the cloud-capped towers, the gorgeous palaces, the solemn temples, the great globe itself, yea, all which it inherit, shall dissolve. And like this insubstantial pageant faded, leave not a rake behind.
We are such stuff as dreams are made on,
and our little lives are rounded with a sleep. Merry meet,
merry part,
and merry meet again. Huzzah.
Huzzah.
Huzzah. Thank you guys so much. And this is Jim Miller with Renaissance Recall. Please come out and join us, and I will talk to you in the next podcast. Thank you very much.
Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, ho! You ring-tailed sailors coming out behind, ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Now, me lads, be of good cheer, for Lundy's Isle, it holds quite near, so it's way down below, and stow your gear. Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm, ho! Jamboree, ho! Sailors coming up behind, ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, to keep your tailpiece warm. Hartland Point's coming up in sight, on the port bow, sitting Lundy's light. We'll be stroking up some fires tonight. Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm, ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, ho! Your ringtail sailors coming up behind, ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Pilot cutter's coming up ahead. There'll be no more horse meat or hardtack bread tonight. We'll sleep in your feather bed. Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Ha! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, ho! Your ringtail sailors coming up behind. Ha! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. We'll make port by the end of day. We can see the girls standing on the quay. And as we leave, we'll be getting our pay. So, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, ho! Your ringtail sailors coming up behind. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Thank you.
I've been several weeks on shore, but a sailor lad, he must roam forevermore. So it's fare thee well to me, Liverpool whore. Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
Come on!
Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, ho! Your ringtail sailors coming up behind.
Ho!
Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
Look at me, man!
Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, hi, your ringtail sailors coming out behind.
Hop!
Jamboree, hop! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece.
One, two, three, four!
Jamboree,
ho!